Following is an OSLC community podcast. Learn more at oslc.co.
Hello and welcome to this podcast from OSLC. OSLC is Open Services for Lifecycle Collaboration, and today we're going to talk about some exciting news from the Eclipse LEO community. My name is Sean Kennedy. I'm a member of the Communications Work Group, and I'm the Operations Coordinator for the OSLC Steering Committee. And with me today is Kartik Kanakasabisan. Kartik, would you introduce yourself?
Hi, Sean. Thank you. My name is Kartik Kanakasabisan. I work internally within IBM with team members in my team that are there to kind of propagate the use of OSLC in the broader sense. So that's kind of what my role is. I've experience in software development for over 18 plus years, so I'm actually really excited about the offering that we're about to bring out with LEO.
That's right. I was actually got an email from Kartik that prompted this podcast, and from that email, there was such excitement about this upcoming release. And so this upcoming release is Eclipse LEO 1.0. Can you tell us a little bit about what is Eclipse LEO?
So Eclipse LEO, the only thing Eclipse about Eclipse LEO is Eclipse, the fact that it actually uses the Eclipse organization as a releasing vehicle. Unlike other Eclipse projects which are inherently plugins, if you will, to the Eclipse IDE, Eclipse LEO is actually a component that's being used by other Eclipse projects, like Orion and Mylan, to name a few. What Eclipse LEO essentially is a set of utilities, as it were, that help people build OSLC facades on top of their existing integration. And it's a set of samples and examples, test suites, and in our initial 1.0 incarnation, we're going to be coming up with a library called OSLC for J. And again, the intent around this is to provide the building capability to build OSLC facades on top of existing applications that our user community may have.
Well, thank you, Kartik. Now, why do you think LEO is so important to the community and the industry?
Well, in general, if you look at over the last several years, you know, we've been talking about why OSLC is important and everything else and so on and so forth. Now, in the past, we did have a set of tools, but that was in a SourceForge repository. And as you know, Sean, finding something in SourceForge is kind of like a needle in a haystack. You know, if you know about it, you'll probably, you know, be able to go ahead and find it, you know, do search for it and things like that. But if you have no awareness or anything of that sort, it has very limited ramifications in that context. But what we did was take that tooling that was in SourceForge and kind of repurpose it in a way and give it a little bit more meaning and also give in stronger IP governance that LEO brings in. And LEO is important. I mean, the analogy I'll draw is we've been talking about OSLC. OSLC is essentially a rule book, and that tells you exactly how you would do things to enable protocol-based integrations. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to doing those things to follow those rules, there's nothing there. And LEO kind of comes in and fills that gap, and it makes it easy for people to not be bothered or mired by the underlying complexity and actually focus on the simplicity of what OSLC truly is, which is integrating at a protocol level. And so inherently, that's one of the reasons why LEO is so important. It actually goes ahead and fills that gap. The way I categorize it is you know, OSLC is kind of like the architectural map of a building, and LEO is the, you know, the shovels, the jackhammers, the screws, the screwdrivers and everything else that to help build that structure.
Wow. So I think I'm starting to see how this can be so important to the community. Do you want to say anything more about the importance of the Eclipse LEO 1.0 release for the OSLC community?
So from an OSLC community, you know, like I mentioned, this is a big event. One, because in the past, you know, we've talked about the rule book and then kind of left people with their own devices to kind of figure out how they would implement facades. And then, you know, we would have discussions in our respective mailing lists and forums. to understand how people are doing implementations. What we are now going ahead and doing, you know, from a Leos perspective, for example, if anyone goes ahead and builds an OSLC integration, well, before they claim on OSLC integration, one of the things that we'd provide is a test suite. And the focus of that test suite primarily is to say that you ought to have satisfied the minimum threshold to categorize a particular integration as OSLC. And these are all the must clauses that are there in the specification. So if someone comes to you, Sean, and says, Sean, I have this application. Oh, by the way, it is OSLC QM specification or quality management specification compliant.
Mm-hmm.
You literally have to take that person's word, the fact that it's compliant.
Right.
Now, with what Leo provides, at least one of the components of utilities of Leo's provides is test suite and says, okay, fine. Let's see if you, you know, if you, let's put the money where your mouth is and run the test suite against it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so successful that even our internal customers like Rational have actually gone ahead and used the test suite and actually found product issues and are going ahead and fixing it. So there's been a lot of good adoption of OSLC internally within Rational, but also even externally by other communities, including our business partners, case in point, Covair, when mm-hmm. they went ahead and built their integration on top of their existing Omnibus infrastructure.
Right. Yeah, I can even imagine if I was the developer from my developer background, I could use these test suites as like a test-driven development harness for what I'm trying to build. This could be quite exciting.
Exactly.
Now, so you've given me a few examples of where Leo has been used. Are there any... Do you want to give me any more details about any of those?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I mentioned, internally we've got RQM, RTC,
right.
RRC that have been actually been using or actually been pushing out OSLC compliant, so to speak, integrations. This is the first time that we've actually gone ahead and tested those.
Right.
And as other IBM products, you know, namely from our Tivoli brand and also from, again, other tools from Rational that actually start coming on board, this is more of a validation. As a matter of fact, as you know, we're also adding some of the OSLC validations to the functional verification testing mechanism within our software delivery.
Right.
On top of that, from an external perspective, like I mentioned, you know, Covair is one example. We've had, you know, Mike Leffler and GM, who has actually gone ahead and used components of Leo as well in their integration. He's actually used the early incarnation, which was in SourceForge.
Right.
But we've also incorporated that element into Leo as well.
Yeah, Mike made use of the reference implementation to help him build a proof of concept.
Exactly. No. So all these things are packaged as part of Leo.
Right. How about the OSLC for J? How have people benefited from using that part?
So in the past, when you had to go ahead and build an OSLC interface, you had to know things like you know, Jenna, Wink, and all the other fun stuff that you had to go ahead and figure out what kind of libraries you want to go use in order to build an OSLC integration. In some cases, people would use, you know, JAX-RS or, you know, JAX-RS or the Experience Jersey, and all these different libraries that had to be used in conjunction to build a proper OSLC interface.
Mm-hmm.
What OSLC for J does is kind of abstracts all that and also ties them all together. So you get OSLC for J plus a bundling of all the library in a very simplistic, consumable fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So now you focus on building your facade rather than trying to figure out what libraries that you have to go ahead and reconcile and make things work. You focus on, okay, how are you going to expose this particular resource, that's whether it's in you know, RDFXML or RDFA, whatever way you want to manifest that particular resource, and how is that going to be integrated via the protocol. And OSLC for J app is the high-level abstraction that simplifies this interaction between various different applications, specifically targeting Java language, the Java language in this case.
Right. So we'll come back and talk about some of the other languages in a minute, but I was just thinking that, you know, it's in these JAS products, that's where it's installed, that's where it's in use. People buy a product from Rational and they have an OSLC interface available to them. So for people who have JAS products, how is Leo going to be useful to them as end users even?
Well, here's the thing. People have jazz. People who acquire jazz products, they also have homegrown tools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a typical scenario that usually plays out is they would acquire jazz products. They would have tools from other vendors. And, you know, the switching costs from those tools are quite significant. And we recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And what we say is the fact that unlike in the past where either you would have to learn the API through the integration or in some cases work with, you know, whether it's your homegrown, if it's your homegrown tool, you'll go ahead and retrofit your tool, open up the source code, retrofit your tool to make it work, or work with the vendor that you have in question and have them do something.
Right.
And what we are doing with OSLC is saying, fine, let them be the way they are. If you can't spend cycles in reengineering your existing solutions, why not slap on this facade on top of your existing application? It can interface with your existing application using your APIs. And now use protocol-based integration versus API-based integration. And the benefits of protocol-based integrations, we see it every day. You know, the
mm-hmm.
fact that it's ubiquitous, it's not necessarily platform-dependent to a certain mm-hmm. to a large extent, because if it was platform-dependent, then I would not be able to see certain great videos from YouTube on my Mac machine, would have to resort to watching it on recommended platforms like Windows or Linux, as the case may be.
Right.
Right. So there are those benefits of protocol-based integrations. Now, yes, protocol integration does sound simple, but there is still a lot of work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
What we've done with Leo is try to simplify that lot of work part.
Yeah.
Right, and made things simple as possible. So we recognize the fact that people do have Jazz products, and yes, Jazz products are OSLC-enabled. But at the same time, they also have other products that are not necessarily OSLC-enabled. How do you make Jazz products talk with these other products? And Leo is essentially that bridging capability that allows you to bridge that gap between these different tools. Now, mind you, in order to gain benefit of Leo, you don't necessarily need to have Jazz products.
Right.
So let's say you have a product from vendor A and a product from vendor B, and both are talking in different languages, and you realize, you know what, it could be great if they would talk with a common protocol. And what is that common protocol that we use today, at least in the Internet? It's HTTP.
Yeah.
And what we're doing with OSLC and Leo in particular is making that integration real. So
mm-hmm.
now you can use Leo and build a facade on this product A from vendor A and product B from vendor B, have this OSLC facade front their APIs, and get this integration happening at a protocol level. So it's easier to troubleshoot, easier to figure out exactly what's going on. But mind you, unlike other integrations where it was more technology-driven, what we ask for primarily is that you understand the kind of scenarios you want to go support in your integrations, complement that by the tools and Leo to make those scenarios possible.
Right, and I can see, so as you mentioned before, we had the blueprint, now we're giving the tools, the jackhammers and the nuts and bolts and everything you need to build it, and with the samples in Leo, we also show you a little bit of a pattern of how you could go about and build it too.
Exactly.
So we're really lowering the barrier to entry here. Now, as I mentioned, I wanted to ask you about, what if I'm not a Java developer? What's coming up there?
So there are a lot of initiatives that are currently in the works right now. We're already thinking about Leo 2.0, even though we're just a few days away from the actual Leo 1.0 launch. And we've already gotten contributions from folks for a Perl interface to Leo or to OSLC. So we've got work there. We've just recently received a contribution that's going through the legal process right now. Of OSLC for C# is what the code is actually what the name of the library is, which allows .NET developers to be able to use OSLC and help build OSLC facade using a .NET infrastructure. Now, we are currently in the works of trying to figure out where we would host .NET because Eclipse has not necessarily managed .NET projects. So we are going to look at another venue to be able to host the .NET libraries, but again, that is again one venue that in its entirety will still be part of the Leo packaging going forward.
Excellent.
And also we're looking at PHP, we're looking at JavaScript, you know, languages that really matter. And also knowing the fact that we've already got a lot of these environments that are quote-unquote cloud-ready, mm-hmm. we want to be able to provide Leo libraries that will help people work work in the same way like they work today in their typical client-server environment when they host their infrastructure in a cloud-type infrastructure as well.
So the future of Leo may, surprisingly, be even more exciting than Leo 1.0, which is so thrilling on its own. Now, when is Leo 1.0 going to be officially available?
Well, Leo 1.0 officially will be available as of September 30th.
Wow.
All right, so we're just days away from, I know September 30th is a Sunday, so unless, I would expect our community, unless they've got nothing better to do, to go download Leo. but you know, we expect traffic to really kick up as of October 1st.
Right, and if you're really impatient, you could go and pick it up right now, and it's basically what it's going to look like, I imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the URL is www.eclipse.org/Leo, spelled as L-Y-O.
So that's eclipse.org/Leo, spelled L-Y-O. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, Kartik. I'm sure everyone who's listened is really appreciative of what you've shared with us, and I'm sure the excitement that you have, and I think now I have, for Eclipse Leo comes through in what we said. If you want to get Leo or ask questions about Leo or learn more about Leo, again, the URL is eclipse.org/Leo, L-Y-O.
The proceeding was an OSLC community podcast. Learn more about open services for lifecycle collaboration at open-services.net.